The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
I'm thinking about one name. I said, I'm thinking about one name. I'm thinking about one name. I said, I'm thinking about one name. I said, I'm thinking about one name. Come on, y'all. I'm thinking about one name. I said, one name. I'm thinking about one name. I said, I'm thinking about one name. Not two names, not three names, not four names. I'm thinking about one name. One name. I'm thinking about one name. One name. And that name is who? Jesus. That name is who? Jesus. That name is who? Jesus. One name. One name. You can't get around that name. You can't get over that name. You can't get under that name. You gotta come to that name. And that name is who? I said who? I said who? Can't nobody. I said can't nobody. Nobody. Somebody here know what I'm talking about? Nobody. Do you like Jesus? Jesus is the only one that can wash our sins away with his blood. Oh, good God Almighty. Y'all can be seated. Good God Almighty. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh. Y'all need to. Y'all. You need to. You need to meditate on that name. You need to meditate on that name. We truly thank God this morning for being God all by himself. He make no mistakes, and he do all things well. I thank God for my wife this morning that's here, my son Lamont and his fiance, my friend Richard Jackson. Got a couple of Bible study people here this morning. I see this place full. So y'all don't see the angels that I see. I did that because I seen the angels. God bless you. Seen the angels. We truly thank God for your presence. And we do have a word. I want to thank God for Pastor King. The Lord put it on his heart for me to come on the fourth Sunday. Y'all do know me and Pastor King have a spiritual connection. And I have a spiritual connection with quite a few people here. It don't get better than having a spiritual connection. You really don't know the person that you think you know if you don't know them spiritually. Do I have a witness? You have to have a spiritual connection. Not a rigid religious connection, but a spiritual connection. And this has become about not just being saved, but this is about kingdom living. We got to tear Satan's kingdom down because he's been building it up too long in this world and in our lives. Do I have a witness? Let us pray. Gracious Father, we come in the precious name of Jesus and by the power of your Holy Spirit, just simply say thank you. Thank you, Lord, because you've been so good. We were sick. You was there. We was hungry. You made a way. We was about to lose our mind and to give up. And even the thought of committing suicide, you stepped in. We thank you, Lord, for simple things like food on our table, clothes on our back, and a roof over our head. We thank you for blessing us with material things, finance, health, and also victory over sin. Although we still sin, but not in a way that we constantly do it, that it would hurt our relationship with you. Because we live a life of constantly repenting, so we don't habitually want to sin because we know that hurts you and it damages our relationship with you. Bless our pastor, Pastor King, his wife, his family, and his children. We know, Lord, he's doing well because of your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for another day that we've never seen before, and we will not see it again. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to give God a wave offering with me. Just give him a wave offering, because he's worthy. He's truly worthy. I'll be coming from the book of Matthew's. Chapter 3. When is the last time that God truly showed up in your life and told you something that you really needed to know? Think about it this morning. And when he told you that, that changed your direction of the way you thought you were supposed to go, but it wasn't so. Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 13 down to 17. And when you get it, just say amen. And it reads, "Then come Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer. That means to allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens was open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You may be seated. I want to use a subject, the baptism of Jesus. I want y'all to say that with me. The baptism of Jesus. But here's the question. Why was Jesus baptized? Verse 13 says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized of him." Have we really ever wondered in our studying, and just going through the Bible what this really meant? Why was Jesus baptized? It's very interesting. For the simple reason, Jesus was not a sinner. Jesus was not lost. Jesus did not need to be saved. He came to seek and to save who was lost. Was it because Jesus wanted to take communion? Think about it. A word description for the Lord's Supper. Was it because Jesus was following the other people? Or it just seemed to do something good at that time? We need to think about it. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 and 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of son." Through Christ's baptism, publicly consecrated him to God, to his kingdom, and thus fulfilled God's righteous requirement. If you haven't closed your Bibles, we'll go back to 3:15. And here's the reason why Jesus got baptized. First of all, let me say this. The first and main reason Jesus was baptized was to please God the Father, to fulfill all righteousness. Let's look at Matthew 3:15. And Jesus answered unto him, "Suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." This is the righteousness of God's standards, making the life with God's commandment, love, and purpose. Galatians 2:9 says, "For in Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." But 10 is, it really brings it home. "And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Reverend Keenling, I don't have to look for nothing else from nobody to get what I want, because all of it comes from Jesus, even the Holy Spirit. I ain't got to tarry. I ain't got to speak in tongues. I ain't got to be in no room saying Jesus, 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 foaming at the mouth. Everything comes through Jesus. You want the anointing? Jesus give it to you. You want salvation? Jesus has it. Everything we need is in Jesus. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the Bible says we are complete in him. But wait a minute. If you don't grow in that completemanship, you being completed in him is not going to happen. I don't think you heard that. If you don't grow, if I don't grow in that completemanship, it's just not going to happen. We got too many called Christians as children that's been in the body of Christ has not matured. Amen. The Bible says we are complete in him because he has all rule, all authority over anything, over demonic powers, any power of this world. He has all power in heaven and in earth in his hand. This is all about Jesus. And God fixed it that way, and I'm so glad. This is not about religion. This is not about denomination. This is not about customs or anything like that. This is all about Jesus. Let's give God a hand and pray for Jesus. Come on. Now, I want you to know what John did, John the Baptist. John passed the test publicly by baptizing Jesus. And soon, John would say this: "He must increase, and I must decrease." We got to get out of the way. Sometimes we're in God's way and don't even know it because we don't want to decrease. If you don't decrease, God will not increase. Amen. Can we be like John and put away our ego and our profitable work aside in order to point others to Jesus? Are we willing to lose some of our status like John the Baptist so that everyone will benefit from Jesus? As you look at verse 16, I want y'all to go back to your Bible. Leave it open, because this is like a teaching sermon. Matthew 3 and 16. And Jesus said when he was baptized, he went up out of the water, and lo, the heavens was open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I want to point something out to you right here. In 3:16, we see the doctrine of the Trinity. We see the doctrine of the Trinity or the Godhead. The doctrine of the Trinity means God is three persons, yet in one essence. In this passage, all three of the Trinity are present and active. Watch this now in verse 16. God the Father did what? He spoke. God the Son was what? Baptized. And God the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus as a dove lightning upon him. God is one, yet three persons at the same time. Now watch this. From then on, when the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus, you know he was led up into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. We know that. But here's what we need to know. Everything Jesus did, his preaching, his healing, his suffering, even his miracles, his victory over sin, was by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to do anything spiritual for God, it has to be done through the Holy Spirit. If Jesus could do nothing apart from the working of the Holy Spirit, enablement, power, how about us? Jesus said in John 15 and 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, help me, y'all. You, I, me, us can do nothing. Can do nothing spiritually. Jesus was baptized to identify himself with sinners. Although Jesus himself had no need to repent, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. For he had made himself to be sin for us who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus was baptized to associate himself with the new movement of God that was calling everyone to repentance. Acts 17 and 30. In the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Turn from sin, turn to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus was baptized, confessing the sins of the nations, Nehemiah, Moses, and Daniel. Jesus was baptized, showing support that what John was doing. You know, John the Baptist was what? Paring the way for the Lord. Make his path straight. Jesus was baptized, indicating his public ministry. For he said, from the time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus was baptized, identifying with the common people, not the critical Pharisees who was only watching. Jesus was baptized, portraying his coming ministry of his death and resurrection. Romans chapter 6 and verse 5 says, for we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now I'm going to throw a question out there. And here's the question. Why did you get baptized? Why did you get baptized? Some people do things, they don't know why they're even doing them. And they don't know the connection and why they did it. Baptism for the believer in Jesus identifies with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, in order that we may live in his resurrection life. Water baptism is an outward sign and a testimony of our receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. As you do a lot of things in life, I go around and talk to people and ask them a question like, have you given your life to Jesus? First thing they say is, I've been baptized. Water baptism don't save you. Don't wash away your sins. Many of us has went down a dry center and came up a wet center. I used to help this church out over in one of his. This one pastor baptized 30 people in a month. This was a while back. And out of all those 30 people, two remain in the church. Because they thought once they got ducked in the water that they were saved. And if you be honest, some of y'all here has been baptized in the water once, twice, or three times. And most people I ask, have they been baptized? I even tell them, I say, your life got worse, didn't it? They say, yeah. They have no understanding of what that means. And these things are happening, and they continue to happen. Let me see a show of hands. How many in here have been baptized more than once in the water? All right. All right. So, water baptism portrays the union of the person with Christ if they are already saved. That's what it portrays. Your union with Christ if you're already saved. We got to be careful. People say stuff like this, and it's in the Bible. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But if you're not in Christ Jesus, you ain't going to be present with the Lord. You can forget about that. People say stuff like this, and it's in the Bible. Weeping endure for a night, and joy come in the morning. If you ain't in Christ Jesus, your joy ain't coming in no morning. It's just that simple. People say there's now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. It's true. But the Bible says, he that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Don't let nobody shortchange you when it comes to Jesus. Because they will. I'm so glad the Bible says study. To show yourself approved unto God, a workman not need be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I preached a while back, about 3 months ago, maybe six. The message was, you can't blame the pastor. You ain't gonna be able to blame the pastor if you miss this. You ain't gonna be able to blame the pastor. Matter of fact, you ain't gonna be able to blame nobody. But definitely, you ain't gonna be able to blame the pastor. You got to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus yourself. Can't nobody give you that but the Holy Spirit. Let's give God a hand praise for the Holy Spirit. Come on, y'all. Because he leads you and he guides you. It's all truth. I found out when it comes to the things of God, I don't know nothing. I can't do nothing. I don't have nothing. But I do realize this. I am what I am by the grace of God. I do what I do by the grace of God. I know what I know by the grace of God. What woke you up this morning? The grace of God. Grace of God. That's what woke us up. Know you not that many of us were baptized into Christ, was baptized in his death. When you go down to that water, you're saying, God, all that is within me, I'm going to sin less. That's what you're saying. But when you raise up out of that water, you're saying, I'm going to live a life now of God. That's what this thing is all about. We got to get it right. Thank God for First Baptist. Y'all getting it right. Thank God for St. Mark and some other of these churches. They getting it right. We got to stop saying all the time God is good. You got to know that God is right. Hello, somebody. Oh, God is good. No, God is right. That overshadows the goodness of God. I want the righteousness of God. Amen. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. We need to stay with Jesus. Don't let nobody move you from Jesus. In the Word of God, he's all we got through the Holy Spirit. Want to know the truth about the Holy Spirit? His main function is to convict you of sin, judgment, and righteousness, and tell you more about Jesus and bring you closer to Jesus if you really want to know the whole truth about the Holy Spirit. He's got many of functions, but some of these functions that we're trying to parade him in, he's not there. That can be your joy that comes from the Holy Spirit, but that's not the Holy Spirit. It's your joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. What do you mean? Even now, If every one of us would get to thinking about the goodness of God and what God has done for you and what God has brought you out of, your jaw will begin to flare up and you will begin to shout. You can run. You can do whatever. That's the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. And don't let nobody take your joy, because the world didn't give it to you. And don't let the world take it away. Amen. I want y'all to go. I'm getting ready to close this out now. I want y'all to go to two verses for me. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Stay with Jesus, and you got to stay in the race. Don't care what happened in the race. You can get sick in the race. You can die in the race. Long as you're in the race, the Holy Spirit will bring you home. Stay in the race. Don't get out of the race. You can even get hungry in the race. God will fix it. But just long as you don't take no water from the devil. Hello, somebody. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let us read this together. Verse 1, I know we got different interpretations, but that's all right. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth also beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You might get tired in the race. You might get hungry in the race. You might get lonely, Sister Burton, in the race. Sister Joy, but stay in the race. You might get thirsty in the race. You might want to give up in the race. You might even doubt in the race. And people will even talk about you in this race. But stay in the race. But you got to remember, the race is not given to the swift. Neither is it given to the strong, but he that endured to the end. What did God say? But they will mount up with wings of eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Stay in the race. Stay with Jesus. I said stay in the race. If you're going to stay in the race this morning, I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up if you're going to stay in the race. And if you stay in this race, you can't hold hands with the devil and walk with God. I said you can't hold hands with the devil and walk with God in this race. You got to look to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of your faith. I'm thinking about one name. I said, I'm thinking about one name. I'm thinking about one name. I'm thinking about one name. Don't give up on that one name, because that one name is Jesus. I said, don't give up. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't give up. Keep on pressing. God got a prize for you. I said, God got a prize for you. Keep on pressing. One name, one name, What's that name?
Jesus.
What's that name?
Jesus.
Do you know him?
Jesus.
Don't fool me now. Just knowing about him ain't enough. You got to know him. Amen. Let's give God a big hand praise. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.